IABC Ottawa presents The Voice.
The Voice offers expert insights and practical takeaways for people in the marketing communications industry.
We're sharing the latest ideas and issues with sector professionals.
What can we do to help you take your career to the next level?
I am Tina Barton, and this is The Voice.
My name is Brennan Lowe. I'm head of business development at Shopify. I've been here for about 5 years. I head up all of our platform partnerships as well as our product partnerships. I'm really passionate about business development, largely from my background in entrepreneurship. You know, I really value the idea of creating something from nothing. And I get to witness that every single day as I look at the kinds of merchants that we support on the Shopify platform. The commerce industry has changed significantly over the last 5 years. We're finding people that thought having a website 5 years was a really creative, innovative solution for their business. The reality is if you don't have a website today, you're a laggard. And that's really a testament to how quickly things are changing in the e-commerce space.
My name is Courtney Simons, and I head up the partner marketing program at Shopify. And that's essentially a network of third-party designers and developers that are building stores for Shopify merchants. I've been able to witness these freelancers and agencies build their businesses entirely around Shopify, using us as the backbone of what they offer their clients, and that's really exciting. I think we're going to see people continuing to resist being marketed to. People want to be spoken to. They want a communication, and they want genuine human interaction.
Startups. What makes some successful where others fail? Few in recent years have seen the success that Shopify has. Only about a decade ago, the e-commerce platform, which helps businesses sell their products on the web, was a modest outfit run by three guys selling snowboarding equipment. The company now serves more than 175,000 businesses in about 150 countries, employs over 800 people, and produced $10 billion in sales since its origins. In today's interview, you're going to hear some of the business strategies that have made Shopify the breakout success it is, not just here in its hometown Ottawa, but across North America and around the world. Today I'm sitting in their beautiful Shopify offices at HQ. I'm joined by Courtney Simons, Partner Marketing Manager, and Brendan Lowe, Head of Business Development for Shopify. Welcome both.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thanks.
Before we get going, I'd like to give a shout out to our podcast sponsor and producer, Thornley Fellis, an integrated communications agency with offices in Ottawa, Toronto, serving clients across North America. So let's set some context for our listeners. How would you describe Shopify in one phrase or so?
Well, the mantra we've kind of adopted is that we want to make commerce better for everyone. So a while back, we stopped thinking about ourselves as just an e-commerce company. We sort of realized that although online sales are very important, they're not the only place that people will want to shop. You know, stores aren't going to disappear. People want to make purchases on their cell phones. Essentially, we just want to be where people want to shop and be able to provide them with the framework and the infrastructure they need in order to be able to process those sales anywhere their customers are.
And who are the people that use Shopify's platform to design websites? Can you tell us a bit about your different types of customers?
Yeah, so Shopify largely was geared towards the small to mid-sized business, even the aspirational entrepreneur. You know, you can think of a lot of people that were sitting on their couch watching a Dragon's Den or a Shark Tank episode, getting totally inspired by the idea that they themselves could be an entrepreneur. And those were largely the people that would go to Shopify.com and they would sign up for a trial and they would give it a go, whether it was selling t-shirts or trinkets. From a design and development side of things, a partner angle, we have a lot of individuals who will build websites on behalf of clients and then pass it over to them once the technical or the design part is done. Those individuals are largely important to the ecosystem, and you can envision a small merchant sitting on their couch. The first thing they do if they feel overwhelmed by the technical challenge is just go on Facebook and find their technical friend. And that technical friend is largely the people that we try and communicate with to say, hey, when you have someone that comes to you and says, I want an e-commerce store, choose Shopify.
But is Shopify easy enough, though, that the person sitting on their couch could also create their own website using your platform?
Absolutely. So most of the people that come to the platform aren't going to do it themselves. They don't want to incur any more costs. They're just trying to give it a go, or maybe add it on to a part of an existing business that isn't web focused. So there are a number of templates that they can choose from, no more expensive than I think $200, but most of them are free. And these are all mobile responsive templates. So they don't have to worry about whether their shoppers are coming from a tablet or a smartphone or just a desktop computer. So the pain and the burden of initiating a store is really non-existent if you decide to give it a go on your own using a template.
And those small and medium businesses are, you know, always what will be at the core of Shopify's focus. But recently we've sort of stretched more upmarket. We realize we have the infrastructure in place to be able to support massive businesses and huge brands that are putting lots of traffic through the platform. And so we launched an enterprise program called Shopify Plus last year, and we're seeing some great success where big brands are trusting that Shopify can support them in all of their needs. And that's been something really exciting for us in the past couple of years.
Excellent. And it seems that partnerships is greatly at the core of your strategy. You're not just providing your services to people who want to sell their own goods. You have a partner program where clients can refer other clients and earn 20% monthly revenue share, or sell an e-commerce theme and earn up to 70% for each sale made on Shopify, or sell an app in the Shopify marketplace. And you've also got an affiliate program where people can make money on every customer who signs up for Shopify through the link posted in their ad or Facebook post, blog post, tweets. So when I read up on this when I was doing my research about your company, I was really impressed. I had no idea that there were so many other ways to make money than just selling your services or products on Shopify's platform.
Yeah, definitely. One of our favorite success stories that's a really good way to talk about these partnerships is a company called Bold Apps in Canada. They're in Winnipeg. And it started with just a couple of dudes in a basement that wanted to build an app for Shopify because they saw some potential. And they had day jobs and it was a side project. And they were able to see such success with their sales of this Shopify app that they quit their jobs and started a business. And now literally all they do all day long is build apps for Shopify and also build client stores. Like, they've been able to build a massive company. I think they're up to almost 30 employees now, and all they do is Shopify. So that's the perfect example of how we're able to sort of foster this amazing ecosystem of really talented, smart people that are able to be essentially our brand ambassadors, you know, spreading the word to merchants that maybe haven't heard of Shopify, but they would approach one of these partners and say, I need an e-commerce store. And these people will say, perfect, I know just the place to put you.
But if you wanted to do something custom to your stores, and there's a couple of examples where, you know, there's a store that sells premium steaks on Shopify, and one of the things that's really important for them is to be able to deliver them in under 24 hours while they're still fresh. So they've had to build a custom integration to ensure that when someone makes an order, a delivery is scheduled really, really quickly in a refrigerated truck, nonetheless, to get the product to the customer without it going bad. So that's just an example of how the ecosystem on the developer side has allowed the product to become really custom, but at the same time not intimidating for a brand new user.
And I wonder if customers can track the progress of their steak in real time.
I would hope so.
That'd be a good feature.
You can know when to start the barbecue.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So tell me, what are three key things that have made Shopify the success it is?
Yeah, I think the core tenets, the key tenets of the Shopify platform really haven't changed since day one, which is pretty miraculous. I think, as Courtney mentioned, the audience is still going to be the small to mid-sized business, but even with us stretching up market, I think that the value prop is still the same. I think number one, it's simple and easy to use. And it's our responsibility as a product to make it as unintimidating as possible for you to go in and add a product photo and a description and a price, buy a domain and launch that business in really 30 minutes or less. So number one, easy to use. I think number two is that it needs to be beautiful. And one of the difficulties back in the day when Shopify was just a snowboard store was that if you wanted to sell something online, you really had a couple of options. You had eBay, which is a marketplace more so than a hosted commerce storefront. So you were a profile on a marketplace. You couldn't control the entirety of the brand experience, and emails to customers would come from eBay. They wouldn't come from you.
Right.
So you lost the customer experience. Design was one of the biggest sacrifices. So easy to use, number one. Number two is you need to be able to make it beautiful. So everything is custom. You can customize every part of Shopify if you'd like. And number three is it's scalable. And this is sort of the raison d'etre for Shopify Plus, is that you can start off on Shopify selling 1, 2, 5 t-shirts a day, but you can scale to the point where some of our largest customers, you look at the Foo Fighters, you look at Beyonce, some of our largest customers can sell millions of t-shirts in a day, and you don't have to graduate off of the platform. So those would be the three key tenets.
Great. Now, those are some pretty big names you just dropped there. Beyonce, the Foo Fighters.
Have you heard of them?
I've certainly heard of them. I'd be surprised if anyone listening hasn't heard of them. And tell me, did they come to you? Did they just discover Shopify for its awesomeness? Or is this part of a bigger strategy where you've gone out and you've found big names to get them on board?
The origins, actually, of Shopify Plus were surprising. It was one of those things where, by chance, we were looking at who was signing up and realizing that there were some really big brands. I mean, Tesla, the automotive company, was running their store on Shopify many years ago when they were still a startup. And people, you know, thought of this is kind of cool. Like, Tesla is someone that should be building this in-house, shouldn't they? And, you know, as we kind of continued to look at the platform, it was really becoming a testament to the product that these brands were trusting us, as opposed to coming to us with this mandate of build this for me like this, or I won't use your platform, and finding a tremendous amount of success. I mean, the biggest client that I remember, a marquee client that we had, was actually Angry Birds before they blew up.
Wow.
So if you had the Angry Birds app in the early days and you wanted to buy some swag, we think it was a plush toy, the little bird plush toys, they were running that on Shopify. And this was in like 2010, 2011, before they really took off. So the Shopify Plus is really a label on what a lot of people had trusted us with, and that was the importance of their e-commerce store that was processing millions of dollars. So there's a bit more of a concentrated effort to say, hey, if people like Tesla and Gatorade and Wikipedia can run their stores on Shopify, then you probably can too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But it sounds like perhaps they came to you when it all started. You weren't going out there saying, hey, we've got a great store for you. Like, your product is testament to its own merits, that people have just chosen it. And the other thing I heard there too, which I think is basic business sense, but to look at your database and see what clients you have. I mean, it's as you just said, you were taken by surprise. Look, Tesla's using our product. I'm sure that mining one's database for clients is just standard practice, but thought it worth mentioning anyway for the listeners.
We've been able to launch some really cool initiatives. So, for example, on my team with the partner program, we've launched this, what we call the e-commerce design awards. And it's an opportunity for our partners to submit their favorite stores that they've created, you know, the best, most beautiful theme that they've come up with. And we have a panel of judges that will go through and look at these. And this past year, we had almost 2,000 entries from all over the world. And what's really neat is that not only is it some great recognition for these partners, you know, we get to validate their efforts and the choices they've made in their business, but it's also a great testament to what Shopify is capable of. You know, we've talked about how apps and themes can sort of extend the functionality of the platform. So these design awards are a great way for us to showcase and say, hey, you thought this wasn't possible on Shopify? Well, here's an example of exactly how it is possible. And that's been one of the neat side effects of this competition, on top of just rewarding our top partners. On the note of competitions, we also have our annual entrepreneurship competition called the Build a Business Competition. And it has grown every year. I think it surprises us every year by how much bigger and better we can make it. Last year, our winners were able to take a trip to Richard Branson's private island in the British Virgin Islands and spend a week getting mentorship from Sir Richard himself, as well as Tim Ferriss and Damon John, who is a shark on the Shark Tank. And basically, they won that opportunity by selling the most during an 8-month competition period. They have to start a business from scratch. They can't have had any sales or brand recognition. And really, the competition started because we wanted to prove that it is easy to launch a business. You know, there's still that stigma that, well, it's not for me, I wouldn't be able to do it. And really, these entrepreneurs are able to start something from scratch and grow, in many cases, a multi-million-dollar businesses in the span of 8 months alone.
I mean, that's incredible, that the opportunity to sit down, in fact, stay with Richard Branson, Tim Ferriss, you had mentioned as well. These are amazing, amazing names. And again, it comes back to the partner and relationships that you've obviously put in place to be able to offer such a big prize. Can we talk a bit about that? For example, you've partnered with Facebook and Twitter for in-platform shopping opportunities. Recently, it was announced that you've partnered with Uber for same-day delivery. and you've signed a deal to become the new e-commerce service provider to businesses that use Amazon's web store. So that's just incredible. And I mean, Amazon's shutting down their own web store next year. So I'm guessing Shopify is pretty much taking it over. These are amazing wins. How did you accomplish all this?
Yeah, I think it comes to down to one really simple thing that even gets you a seat at the table, and that is the respect in the industry that you're the leader. These deals at this magnitude isn't a handshake or a business deal done at a golf course. You know, this is a testament to the quality of a product and the business that these large, you know, multi-billion-dollar brands see in Shopify. And I think what's Shopify being selected, and just actually us having spoken about Ottawa and the climate that we're in, we're not in Silicon Valley. We're not bumping shoulders with the Facebooks and the Twitters, you know, just walking down Market Street in San Francisco.
Right.
And what that means is that, you know, a lot of these conversations are happening because people look within these companies at the industry and they go, Shopify is the number one platform out there. These guys really respect product, as do we. And if we're going to partner with them, we want to partner with the best. And that's really, you know, the behind the scenes work is actually done by the product dev and design teams who are just building a phenomenal business. So the nuances of each of these partnership deals, you know, is really exciting. But I mean, Amazon's a great story, right? When we started 10 years ago building snowboards, you know, Amazon was the giant foot in the sky, mm-hmm. right? And it was, as a startup, something that people continued to put as a risk for Shopify. It's, well, what if Amazon does what you do and all of a sudden, you know, your business is gone? They can just throw tens of millions of dollars in marketing at this initiative, to a point now, fast forward, where we're looking at Amazon saying, we tried and we couldn't penetrate the small business market with e-commerce platforms like Shopify. You know, let's partner with the best. And it's a really interesting sort of full circle story to say that this was once the potential risk factor, and now they're a partner driving business to us.
So,
and
maybe some of the lesson there is, you know, you do your environmental scan and you identify the threats, but don't be put off by them, because maybe you'll go on to become the threat yourself.
Yeah, and even on the partnership side, you know, chasing marquee partnership brands is, you know, it's a fun and sexy part, I think, of a lot of partnership deals. But the reality is that wouldn't have even been a conversation we were privy to had it not been for the testament of the product and the reputation of the product. So if you are a product-focused company, if you are a technology company, you know, spending that extra time working on something that merchants really need and would pay for and create value, I think is the right choice if you face the fork in the road, which is, do we go after and make phone calls all day trying to secure partnerships, or do we build the best possible product?
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. There's no question that having a top quality product goes a long way on its own merits. But also, when I first met with Courtney to discuss the possibility of this episode, she also mentioned that you've got Harley Finkelstein there, who's like a relationship maven who has a lot of contacts. So we have to acknowledge that also, when you have someone in your company that just has their tentacles everywhere, that really, I mean, it always comes down to personal trust at the end of the day, which can be established over time. And it sounds like Harley's done a great job of that. For people who don't have a relationship maven in their organization and they're working on making a top quality product, but you know, they're not top of class yet, what are some tips you have for business development? Like when you're brokering cold relationships, what are some tips that you can share to maximize your chances of doing well?
I think being authentic and genuine as a person in your position is sort of a key starting point. You know, when someone requests to reach out to you over LinkedIn or over a cold email, you can immediately place that conversation in one of two buckets. I think you can put it in, this is a pitch email through and through, and there was not even a recognition of me as a person versus someone else who this was potentially sent an email. Or this is someone who's trying to understand what I'm actually after. I mean, I've often looked at partnerships when I'm working with someone on the other side of the table, is my goal in many ways is, how do I help them get a promotion? Right? Because if I can help them succeed, they're going to fight for me as well internally. And it's at least a recognition, sort of the call the spade a spade and say, listen, we're both at a table here for a negotiation or for partnership discussion. So let's put that aside and really get to the meat of the substance. And A lot of those are, again, you mentioned it, as people you trust. And if you don't have a product ready to show to a partner, but you know you eventually will, how do you connect with them? Mm-hmm. And that could be, you know, that could be anything from going on to Reddit or, you know, popular forums that have sub-communities or subcultures in them, and being a voice for reason, you know, or talking about non-pitch-like material and on Quora, asking really solid questions or answering questions in industry. But it could also be a bit more personal, you know, understanding through LinkedIn and Google who is responsible at this company for creating value, and how can I show them that, you know, I want to be connected to them in a way that's meaningful, so that when the time does come, Gary Vaynerchuk, who's been a past Build a Business mentor, you know, his newest book is called Jab, 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 Right Hook. And it's kind of funny, because the premise is that as you jab, you're just giving parts of yourself to someone else. And you're saying, I don't need anything in return. I'll just give and give and give and give. But that allows me to make a big ask, the right hook, per se, when the time comes. And if you come at it with an open personality and nothing selfish, with a hidden agenda, and you put yourself out there and say, you know, I just want to do good by means of balancing my time, but also in contributing in a significant way, I can make the ask at the right time, and they become much easier as opposed to a cold email or a pitch.
Absolutely. That's some really good advice. And something that stood out to me there too, and what you said is, in terms of building trust when you're someone that's going in cold, you know, I heard a bit of associated content strategy. If they're going to look you up online, do you have an online presence? And what kind of things have you been saying online? And have you been positioning yourself as a thought leader in the field? I think that's a really key takeaway that business developers might not be thinking about. Often I feel that content strategy is in the communications realm, but here we've just heard how it can be used by people in the business development realm too.
Courtney really nailed it when she said that people want to be spoken to. Yes. And that's very much true whether you're advertising on behalf of a brand or advertising on behalf of yourself.
How would you market Shopify if you were just the company of two people and you weren't selling sexy things and you'd had no coverage to date?
I think a blog is being actually one of the most powerful tools that Shopify has actually ever used. If you go to Google today and you search e-commerce blog, Shopify shows up is one of the top one or two search results just about anywhere in the world. And the reason that happens is it's done over time, but it's because Google as a search engine recognizes that the content that we produce on a daily or every couple of days is very genuine, and it's very it's non-scripted. It talks about issues that small businesses would be facing. It's mm-hmm. very much it's meant to be a guide that's agnostic of who's actually behind the solution. I mean, it could be our competitors for all anyone else knows, because it's talking about 10 tips to get through the holiday season as a small business, or how do you, you know, pick, pack, and ship products from your living room more efficiently. And the point of that is over you build up a brand of someone who's contributing to the greater good of small business, and you could recognize for that. And that didn't require a massive team. It took a lot of time, but it was time well spent. And those blog articles would go to Hacker News, they would go to Reddit, they would go to Facebook, and they would blow up because they were just it was really meaningful. So if you are one or two people and you're trying to decide, do I spend today picking up the phone and doing cold calls to customers because I got to sell my product, or do I try and build for the long term and focus on branding? Those are really actionable tips. You know, what can you contribute in a content lens that will be rewarded over time?
Definitely. And I often think of our sort of partner program, in particular the partner marketing team, as a bit of a startup within Shopify. And we've been really lucky in that we've been able to see the success of, like Brennan was mentioning, the merchant blog. And we've been kind of borrowing from that as well, coming up with this sort of content and establishing ourselves as an expert in the industry. And that's totally what we've discovered as well, is it's not only about speaking to your audience, it's about becoming a thought leader and about becoming the go-to place that people in the industry will look, even if you're not only speaking about Shopify, or in our case, you know, the Shopify Partner Program. It's just really putting your voice out there and speaking to people.
So it's a good tie into the next question, which is, Courtney, how is communication used innovatively at Shopify to support business development, growth, sales, client satisfaction?
I think that in order to be able to communicate effectively to our merchants and customers, we need to first be able to be communicating efficiently internally. Yes. We're a big company now. Like you were saying, we're over 800 employees. You know, we're not just a few people that can sit around a table over a pizza and talk about what we did this week. We're massive now with different teams in different offices even. So we need to be really effective at keeping each other in the loop.
And so for people in Ottawa, obviously you're gathering in person, but I've seen the big screens you have around these offices. So what you're saying is people that are in your Toronto offices and elsewhere, they're also live there on the screen too. So they're as connected as they can be without actually being there in person.
That's right. We stream everybody in and everybody kind of gets together. And, you know, even we're already starting to plan for our holiday Christmas party where we're going to be bringing people all together just to make sure we keep that sense of community. And because we're so connected that way, we can communicate effectively externally. I'm just reminded of a really fun initiative we took on when we hit 100,000 merchants. That was a big milestone for us. It really wasn't that long ago, and we're already up to almost double that, which is crazy. But what we did is we ran an email campaign where Toby, our CEO, sent out an email to each one of our first 100,000 merchants saying, "You're number five. You were like the 8,000th merchant to join Shopify." Just to give them a sense of purpose to kind of say, you're in here with us, right? So obviously data is a huge part of communicating effectively. And we sort of took the data that we had about these merchants and used it as an opportunity to have a conversation with them to say, "Hey, you've been with us since the beginning, or maybe you just joined, but you're helping us grow to become a bigger company." And we're always thinking of interesting ways that we could be sharing information with our merchants and communicating all the updates that go on. There's news all the time, so we're always experimenting, but any way that we can make it more of a genuine interaction, we're trying to go that route.
And you're making it personal. I mean, you're mm-hmm. taking the time to look up number 80,000 and 8,000, and that's a lot of work.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And it's just something that you know, we're so thankful that so many merchants have put their faith in us. I mean, they're trusting us with their whole business, you know, their livelihood, the thing that puts dinner on the table for their families in most cases. And we try to honor that as best we can, and we know that it's a constant case of us having to prove that we continue to be worthy of their business.
And a lot of the responses were actually pretty personal. A lot of people responded to that email where you would think it was more of an automated email. "Okay, thanks Shopify, great, you're just my e-commerce platform." People were telling their entrepreneurial journey and giving credit to Shopify, saying, "I don't think I would have done this had it not been for competitions like Build a Business, had it not been for the tools or the webinars that I might have seen." So
keeping it personal is a big theme that I'm hearing throughout the conversation. And can you just expand a bit on how Shopify does client service differently? Because I know that you obviously make it very personal.
Yeah, so in our partner program specifically, you know, we have partners who are, like I'd mentioned, designers and developers from all over the world. And we have dedicated partner managers. So essentially, when you sign up as a partner, you will have a dedicated contact that you can always reach out to and have a personal relationship with and communicate with personally. And so we've sort of divided up the world into different regions, and our partner managers are responsible for taking care of those partners. You know, we think it's important not just to call a random line or, you know, get a support ticket and hear back eventually, especially for these partners who are essentially our resellers and brand ambassadors. We want to make sure they know that we value their business, but also their relationship, and that there's always someone there for them.
And can you just expand on what exactly a partner or a reseller means at Shopify?
Yes, certainly. So they are someone who, there's a lot of different ways that you can be a partner. You know, you can be building apps to sell in the theme store. You can be building themes to sell in the theme store. But there's also a group that we call value-added partners, where really they're helping set up people on Shopify and they're adding value. So they're building in some crazy custom integration that perhaps the merchant didn't think was possible or that's absolutely essential for their business. Oftentimes they're doing repeat services. You know, maybe they're a client for life because they're constantly upgrading the merchant's site and keeping them informed. That's why it's communication with our partners is very important, because these partners need to know everything that's going on at Shopify. They need to know about the Uber deals and the Twitters and the Facebook, because we want them to be able to pass that on to their clients so that they can continue to look like an expert and be that, you know, valuable opinion and value-added service that merchant is looking for.
Terrific. Well, final question. Creativity can be bred in unusual ways. And can you give us some examples of innovation and inspiring creativity that Shopify does?
So I think one of the most popular ones would have to be our hack days. You know, Google had made a similar program very prominent in the technology community many years ago, where it had promoted that its workers would spend 20% of their time working on unrelated day-to-day projects.
Yeah.
Right? They could do something that they felt was kind of cool or something that felt a little out of scope of their day-to-day mandate. And we actually tried that for quite a while. I remember almost 5 years ago, we tried something similar. The problem was that most people weren't carving out the 20% of their time to do these nifty projects because they were so compelled to work on the projects that they had for the other 80%.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we tried to talk and share about the cool things people were doing. And, you know, all of a sudden it just seemed like people needed a little bit more focus. So we kind of renamed the program to Hack Days. And what it is every quarter, every year, so 4 times a year, everyone drops what they're doing for 2 days on a Thursday and Friday. And Thursday morning, you form spontaneous groups of people. You try to work with people you've never actually run into on a day-to-day basis. And they'll be cross-functional largely. So you'll see some designers with some developers, maybe with some partner managers, and they'll build something, you know, completely unrelated to their day-to-day, but something that could add value to the lives of customers or partners or employees, and foster this great sense of innovation. So the idea is you start Thursday morning, and you have until Friday afternoon to ship the product and present it in front of the company. And then we've turned it into kind of a competition because we're so big now that the Toronto office will have sort of a semifinals, and they'll get their 4. Ottawa splits into 2. Montreal has their own, and everyone comes together and then votes on their favorite project. And I'd say probably 10% of these projects over the course of the next 4 months actually make it into Shopify.
Yeah, another neat thing, you know, Toby's always encouraging us to think about what Shopify would look like if it was founded today instead. And that helps us keep that creativity and innovation in the back of our minds always. And I mean, anyone can see that the future of commerce is definitely going to involve mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to train our brains to think mobile first in a lot of different ways. And so a lot of people at Shopify have been trying out sort of a Mobile Mondays experiment where we're encouraged to only use our phones wherever possible for emails, communications with team members. Obviously, devs need their big screens and things for a lot of projects. But even though it would slow down our workflow, you know, even though using our phones as of right now would mean that maybe it's going to take longer to reply to emails, we're still encouraged to do that just to train our brains to think in new ways.
Right. And so you're checking out your clients' websites on to see the mobile experience, what's the online shopping experience like.
That's right, and testing out all of our functionality. I mean, we run the Shopify Partners blog and the e-commerce blog using Shopify's blog platform and our own software. So checking out the mobile experience of doing all those things is really important.
Are you even creating a blog post from scratch on your mobile phone? Because gosh, I think that would interrupt my creative flow.
I know, right? So it's just, that's the thing. It's training your brain to be able to do those kinds of things and making that the new normal, at least so that we know what our merchants and partners are experiencing when they do attempt to do things like that just from their phone.
And tell me, do the winners of your internal competitions, do they get to have a night with Kanye or have a sleepover on Richard Branson's island?
Oh, I mean, Brendan and I are actually quite fortunate. We played a role in organizing the Build a Business competition. So we kind of won the lottery in that sense. We were able to go and join the winners of the competition on Necker Island with Sir Richard. So I guess in that sense, we kind of did win.
next year's competition is going to be just as cool. You can actually check it out now. It was launched only a month ago, and we've basically rented out the mansion that was the inspiration for The Great Gatsby in Long Island, New York. So we've rented the mansion. We're calling it the Entrepreneurship Mansion, and we're inviting the winners of this year's competition to hang out for a week. They're going to open up the New York Stock Exchange in the morning, and then they're going to take a helicopter to fly to the helipad, because obviously that mansion has a helipad. And we're going to invite prolific and amazing entrepreneurial guests to just drop by, so you can expect some pretty cool individuals to maybe come play some acoustic sets for the group if they're maybe a tier one artist or maybe a celebrity chef doing a cooking competition at night, as well as some friends of Shopify like Tim Ferriss and Seth Godin and Gary Vaynerchuk to maybe stop by every now and then. Hopefully not in the middle of the night, but they can they'll probably be a reason to wake up and hang out and drink scotch by the fire, talk about your business.
Yeah, every year we try to make it bigger and better. So this time people have until May 31st to be growing their businesses and maybe joining us at the mansion.
Fantastic. Well, listeners, check out the Shopify website for details. Have a play with creating your own business, because there's big rewards to you from your sales, but also these amazing opportunities to network with the best.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much to you both for joining us on today's show.
Well, thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
This was a lot of fun.
How can people connect with you both?
You can find both of us on LinkedIn fairly easily. Feel free to connect. And I'm easily reached at Courtney@Shopify.com.
Yep, Brennan@Shopify.com, and even on Twitter and the social media. I can't give it away to business development people. I feel like if you're in business development or communications and you want to get a hold of someone, you'll figure out a way to get a hold of them. So we'll leave it as a challenge, an open challenge.
I like it. Good point. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. The Voice is produced here in Ottawa, Canada. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes, and we encourage you to give us a rating if you like it. Special thanks to Ashley McGrath from Thornleigh Fellis, an integrated communications agency, for producing this episode. Make sure to visit ottawa.iabc.com for more about the show and related resources. IABC Ottawa is the voice of Ottawa's marketing and communications industry, and I'm your host, Tina Barton. Connect with me on Twitter and LinkedIn at Tina M. Barton. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time.